Warning, the following podcast features views and opinions that are not representative of the collective views of the Whispers groups. Some of these views may not be suitable for children. Accordingly, the producers and hosts of the Missy AE podcast must insist that no one attempt to take anything that is being said as representative of the views of any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. I am your host, Steve Kent. Tonight, we bring to you Sports Whispers Weekly, where we talk nothing but sports for the duration of the show. We have a lot on the agenda tonight. Of course, we have the Super Bowl to talk about between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. We will get our picks for tonight's or for tomorrow's big fiesta, as well as maybe a couple of prop bets as well. Because there are a few, along with every big game, there's usually some prop bets to go along with it. We will talk some NFL coaching. We'll also talk some NFL coaching hires. We'll cover the NBA trade deadline. And we also have an update on the Vince McMahon situation. That's right. It looks like even more information is starting to come out in regards to that. So we also there's also quite a bit of trades that went on, not just in the NBA, but also through Major League Baseball as well over this past week. But first off, as a reminder, you can subscribe to the Missy AE podcast by going to blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE, or you can subscribe to us on any of our major podcast networks, like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and any of our major other major podcast networks. But Lou, it's a huge week this week. Super Bowl, the Super Bowl is tomorrow. Yeah, I know there's probably a whole bunch of commercials that have already leaked, probably. For the Super Bowl. I know one in particular I'm most looking forward to is the new Deadpool trailer that's supposed to be coming out tomorrow.
Clone. That's exactly what it is. Deadpool is a Spider-Man clone. That's all it is.
I wouldn't exactly say that because Spider-Man can't grow back limbs.
Well, all right.
But regardless, though, there's obviously, you know, there's two things that people watch the Super Bowl for. No, not Taylor Swift. They watch for the game, and they also watch for the commercials. So I'm sure there's going to be a ton of stuff. I believe tomorrow's the game starts at what, 3, or does it start at 6?
Well, depending on what coast you live on, 3 on the West Coast and 6 on the East Coast. Actually, it's more like close to 6:30.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I completely forgot. Super Bowl has always been one of the later games. So now we do have first off the Super Bowl referee for this year's matchup, and this one has a little bit of experience. In particular, we have Bill Vinovich, who was this is his third Super Bowl. He was previously the referee for the last time these two teams matched up in 2020. As well as the 2015 Super Bowl, which saw New England hold on to defeat Seattle. As far as any other parts of the officiating crew, let's be honest, the only person I know on this officiating crew is Bill Vinovich. But this could very well be Andy Reid's potential last NFL game as a head coach. Obviously Kyle Shanahan has been to the Super Bowl before with multiple teams, previously with the Atlanta Falcons losing to the Patriots. He was the offensive coordinator, I believe, at the time. And obviously, back in 2020 with the San Francisco 49ers. But let's get your thoughts, Lou, on Andy Reid. Do you think this could potentially be his last NFL game as a head coach?
Well, pretty much. I mean, you know, he is getting up there in years and whatnot, so I think that this does look to be a swan song. I mean, how much do you think he's got left in him, to be honest? So, all intents and purposes, win or lose, yeah, I think this is the end of the line.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely a fair thing to suggest when you consider the fact that Andy Reid has been in the NFL since the early 90s, when he started off as a assistant offensive line coach with the Green Bay Packers, and he was also a tight ends coach. Basically, he was almost every sort of offensive coach with the Packers all the way up until 99, when he was hired by the Eagles as their head coach. And obviously he stayed there till 2012, and then 2013 he became the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, we know what he's done with Kansas City ever since he joined Kansas City. Two-time Super Bowl champion, you know, has the time to become a three-time Super Bowl champion. You know, he's a former Coach of the Year. That's another thing. We'll cover the NFL awards coming up as well. Technically, if you look at it, he's a three-time Super Bowl champion because he was also an assistant coach. He won a Super Bowl in Super Bowl 31 with the Green Bay Packers against the New England Patriots as an assistant coach.
Yeah.
But as his career record stands right now, 258 wins, 144 losses, and one tie in the regular season for a career record of 64.1 win percentage. And as far as the postseason goes, you know, he's a career 61% winner at 25-16. So obviously, you know, he's up there to begin with when it comes to head coaches in the NFL history. But where do you think this will put him if he wins yet another Super Bowl with Kansas City? It'll be his third potential Super Bowl win in the last 5 years.
Well, he has to be ranked up there as one of the greatest of all time. Of course, unless I presume that he's going to win, actually, because I do think, you know, there are some factors that might go along with that. But I think he'll be ranked as one of the greatest coaches of all time if Kansas City wins tomorrow.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, you have coaches like Bill Belichick. I'm still stunned, by the way, that Belichick does not have a team this next year. But you know, you see coaches who have had runs in throughout their career. And you know, Andy Reid, it took him a while, but I mean, you know, three potential Super Bowl wins in the last 5 years. And actually, if you look at it in general, he's been to the Super Bowl four times in the last 5 years, losing to Tampa Bay in 2020. So, I mean, it's an incredible run that he's had with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. And obviously, you know, Travis Kelce, the big this era's version of Brady and Gronk in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But, you know, one of the things I'm wondering, though, Lou, is could we see San Francisco double-team Travis Kelce tomorrow? Because it's obvious that Travis Kelce is Patrick Mahomes' number one receiver.
Yes, I think there's a good chance that they'll try to double-team Kansas City with that. You know, you got them, but you got, you know, Brock and McCaffrey on the 49ers side. So, this looks to be like they could double team him very, very easily.
Yeah, it would definitely, in my opinion, it would be it would definitely be to San Francisco's benefit, I feel, if they were to double team Kelce. Take Kelce out of the picture, then you basically have to deal with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Rashee Rice, Mecole Hardman. You know, you have to limit Kansas City somehow on the offensive side. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes is going to be the magic man regardless. But if you take out one of his, or if you take away one of his top options, you know, that leaves him with very little room for error, so to speak.
Okay.
Now, as far as the injury report, I'm sorry, what was that?
You're going to have to if you're going to beat him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. You're definitely going to need to really basically isolate Kansas City's offense, if anything. And Travis Kelce, he's always been the difference maker for the most part when it comes to them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, as far as the injury report goes, the Niners are pretty much healthy. The Chiefs, they're without All-Pro guard Joe Tooney, who is out with a pectoral muscle, with a pectoral tear. He was out for the AFC title game as well. And they'll be without their offensive lineman, Prince Tega Wanoko, who is out with a quad injury. Not to mention, they also are without one of their big edge rushers as well. So Kansas City is definitely the more banged up of these two teams. Although obviously, you know, for a true Super Bowl winning team, it's basically next man up, essentially, in this situation. Obviously, like I said, we saw these two teams face off in the Super Bowl back in 2019. And in my opinion, I feel like these are, you know, this is a completely different San Francisco 49ers team this season. So I'm not sure if I would expect a 31-20 score again, you know, if Kansas City were to win.
I think it'll be closer.
You think it'll be closer?
Yeah, I see it as what we call a grudge match.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. And also, you know, like I noted earlier, they have the same head referee this time, like they did in that Super Bowl with Bill Vinovich calling the game. So this could be, you know, as long as San Francisco stays disciplined,
yeah,
you know, I feel that, well, obviously if both teams stay disciplined, you know, this should be a very entertaining game. Obviously, one of the big differences this go around, you know, when you compare both teams, you know, first with San Francisco, you don't have Jimmy Garoppolo at the helm. You have Brock Purdy. You don't have Raheem Mostert as your number one running back. For Kansas City, you know, you don't have Damian Williams. You don't have Tyreek Hill. You're missing Sammy Watkins. It's a completely different squad on both sides compared to their last matchup. Now, I think the big difference here is, in my opinion at least, I believe that San Francisco has a better defense this go-around as opposed to back in 2019.
That's one of the keys it's going to take to win it for them. That's one of the key factors I think will be.
Right. I agree with that. When you take a look at some of the players in line here, Kansas City, they don't have Frank Clark. Frank Clark is a free agent. You know, he spent time between Denver and Seattle this past year. They don't have him on defense. Charvarius Ward, who was their starting left cornerback in that Super Bowl, is now starting in place of formerly Richard Sherman for the San Francisco 49ers. And plus, Richard Sherman was on the tail end of his career in that Super Bowl. So you take out Richard Sherman, you replace him with Charvarius Ward. Obviously, you know, the Niners, they don't have Emmanuel Mosley. Both teams look pretty different on both sides of the ball. A matter of fact, you know, Daniel Sorensen, I remember, made a couple of key plays in that Super Bowl. Or leading up to that Super Bowl, I should say. He's no longer with Kansas City. You know, both teams look drastically different, but I'd say, if anything, San Francisco, I feel, has more mainstays on this defense that are still licking their chops at wanting to get revenge for that Super Bowl loss. Now, obviously, you know, they still have their same offensive weapons. You know, San Francisco, they had Debo Samuel. They had George Kittle back then. They had Emmanuel Sanders, but Emmanuel Sanders, obviously has been retired. They still have Kyle Juszczyk. But, regardless, I still believe that San Francisco is definitely more improved, I would say, between the two teams, and especially when you take into account San Francisco back then did not have the absolute game changer in Christian McCaffrey. So there was one thing that a lot of people said that Kansas City has struggled with, which is the run game. And, you know, not the run game in general, but defending the run game, I should say. And basically, a lot of people believe that the Baltimore Ravens, because they strayed away from the run game, that basically took them out of any chance that they had of potentially defeating the Chiefs in the AFC title game. So one has to wonder, you know, with San Francisco, I mean, they have the players they need in order to handle Kansas City on any side of the ball. Now, honestly, you know me, Patrick Mahomes is kind of getting up there. And, this is a little far-fetched for me to say right now. But I kind of feel like Patrick Mahomes is kind of getting up there with Brady. And the reason why I say that is because you look at Tom Brady and you put a situation in front of him, and it's like, how the hell is he going to get this done? You know, like, say, oh, you got to move the ball all the way downfield with 30 seconds to go and score a touchdown. You know, you think, in order to win the game or tie the game up, you think, how the hell is he going to do it? And lo and behold, there he goes, gets it done. It's kind of the same thing here with Patrick Mahomes. So even though I want the 49ers to win the Super Bowl, and I think they have the weapons that it takes, I can't shake this feeling that there's going to be some random ass play, some random ass situation that's going to happen where Mahomes is basically going to be handed the win essentially on a silver platter. And, you know, it's going to be one of those scenarios where it's like, oh, you're going to have a minute to go down the field and either get into field goal position or score a touchdown to either tie or win the game. And we've seen this happen before in previous Super Bowls where the referees, instead of letting the players play the game, they love to, you know, insert themselves into the situation. And let's face it, Baltimore, they made key mistakes in the AFC title game against Kansas City. It didn't help that Kansas City that game also had a referee crew that was pro Kansas City in most of the games that they had reffed of Kansas City. I'm hoping now Bill Vinovich usually calls it down the line. In most Super Bowls, he's usually called everything right down the line. And most big games that he's been involved in. I'm hoping Vinovich does the same here, but I can't shake this feeling because you also have to throw the Taylor Swift portion into this. And normally people would say, okay, Taylor Swift, you know, not a big deal. She's just any other person. Taylor Swift apparently has so much pull that Al Michaels is not calling the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, is that why he's not calling? I thought NBC didn't want him because he was getting up there in age. So obviously it had to do with
Had nothing to do with that.
Okay, because that was the rule. So I guess in this case he just can't take it off.
Apparently, NBC removed Al Michaels from playoff coverage due to the fact that when he was calling one of the Kansas City games that they kept showing Taylor Swift, in the booth or whatever, or in the suite, the Kansas City suite, he made a comment where he said, "You can't make a sideshow the show." Basically, he emphasized, which is true, you can't make a sideshow your main show. Basically, he emphasized that the audience tunes in primarily for the football game, not for the extraneous elements that surround the football game.
Obviously,
nobody's tuning in to see Taylor Swift. Everybody's tuning in to see two key teams face off to determine who is the next champion of the NFL.
Basically, yes. But, I think they're trying to attract, young girls and stuff, but I think that's really tuning to see. You know, that's what they're looking for. You know, a case in point, like a few years ago, because basically there's three things that people tune in to see with the Super Bowl. The game, of course, the halftime show, and the commercials. And, of course, there was a lot of controversy over one particular when Shakira did a commercial for Super Bowl not too long ago. So, it attracts those people as well. So with Taylor Swift's appeal to young girls, she was looking for that. And apparently Al Michaels is not too pleased about it. So I guess he couldn't really shake it off, but that's how it came out to be. Oh my God, that's just out loud.
I mean, Lou, they even have a prop bet going for how long or how many times Taylor Swift will be shown on camera.
Eight.
That's one of the prop bets, and honestly, in my opinion, I think it'll be at least 20, if not more, considering the fact that's literally all that the NFL has cared about ever since it came out that Travis Kelce was dating Taylor Swift. Like, literally, they do all they can. Instead of focusing on the game, it's like, oh, my God, let's get Taylor Swift's reaction to this play. It's
looks like carries, but I'm done.
I mean, you didn't see, like, if Tom Brady was in a Super Bowl, they showed Giselle, okay, maybe once. They showed Giselle Bundchen maybe once. They didn't, they didn't show Giselle after every single fucking play that got called.
Right.
And it almost seems that way here with Taylor Swift, but I know what the NFL's vision is here. Oh, well, we want to get, you know, because we're showing Taylor Swift, all of her Swifties, for people who don't know, that's what Taylor Swift fans are called. They're called Swifties. All
right.
of her Swifties are watching. So we got to make them happy and distract everybody from the game and instead, you know, take the focus away from the game and put it on Taylor Swift.
Yeah. It's like with, you know, Tony Romo and Carrie Underwood. So, but of course, you know, some say that she cost him the game because he couldn't keep his eyes on the game because he was looking at, you know, Carrie so much, and then he mucked it. So, you know, if you remember back in 2006.
I'm just pissed off that I have to listen to Chris Collinsworth for a Super Bowl. I may just put the Super Bowl on mute tomorrow.
Can we just put him on mute instead?
If I'm being honest, I mean, yeah, Mike Tirico is great to listen to.
But the game's on CBS, not NBC.
No, it's on NBC.
The Super Bowl's on NBC this year? I thought it was CBS.
Nope, NBC.
Oh, boy.
I'm pretty sure, at least. Oh, no, it is on CBS. Okay,
yeah,
so I don't have to listen to Collinsworth.
Neither do we.
Oh, this is beautiful, then.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is beautiful, then. I don't have to I don't have to listen to Collinsworth. Listening to Jim Nance and Tony Romo, that's a hell of a lot better than having to pay attention to an NBC broadcast.
I'll take Jim Nance any day.
Yeah, obviously, of course. And obviously, you know, for those listening on the radio, they'll have Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner calling the game on the radio. But
Kevin Harlan.
Needless to say, though, you know, I really think that when you take a look at these two teams, I want San Francisco to win. But I really feel like somehow Kansas City is going to pull it out of their ass in the end.
Mm.
I just got that feeling. Like, I really hope that Brock Purdy, I believe he would be, correct me if I'm wrong, he would be the first ever Mr. Irrelevant to lead his team to a Super Bowl win, right?
Yeah, since we've never heard of Mr. Irrelevant in the history of the NFL before anyway. So, yeah.
So, I mean, that would be one hell of a storyline just to begin with. And, you know, maybe San Francisco finally exercising their demons of the past, you know, losing with Jim Harbaugh, losing previously with Kyle Shanahan. And in turn, Kyle Shanahan, you know, this is his third opportunity at a Super Bowl, second as a head coach, you know. With the offensive type of genius that he is, you would have to figure that he's probably going to attack this Kansas City defense differently than he did last go around. So what are your thoughts, Lou? What are your thoughts on this Super Bowl? How do you think it's going to turn out in the end?
I think it's going to be a very highly competitive game. All right, maybe not so much as maybe like a high scoring game, but very competitive. You know, it's going to be like, you know, I guess that kind of like a dogfight and whatnot. Good battle. But I think with 49ers, with the more defense type of strategy they have, I think they're going to have enough to overtake the Chiefs.
Who do you have? Who do you have as Super Bowl MVP?
This is gonna be a long shot, but I'm gonna go with McCaffrey.
You know, I was thinking that exact same thing. Normally with MVPs, yeah, they would likely give it to the quarterback. They would give it to Brock Purdy, but
right.
I think that McCaffrey is just so different of an offensive weapon that, you know, he's basically San Francisco's X factor.
Yeah.
The stuff that he can pull off, it's a matter of fact, I think he was on pace at one point to set the record, I think, for consecutive games with a touchdown by a receiving touchdown by a running back, if I recall correctly, this year. Now, obviously, he didn't get it, but at one point, I believe he was on pace to do so. So, I think that he's probably the most likely to win MVP, I feel, if San Francisco pulls it off. If the Chiefs pull it off, I would assume that it's probably going to be Patrick Mahomes because, I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's basically their version of Tom Brady. He's basically the NFL's new golden boy.
Right.
So,
that's what we're thinking.
Right. Hang on one second. Caller, you are on the air. May I ask who this is?
Hello, this is Roger.
Hi, Roger. We were discussing the Super Bowl. Anything you would like to comment on?
Yes, the Super Bowl. As far as until would then need a prosecutor emphasizing.
What?
Yes.
I'm talking about the NFL.
Decision appeals. Yes, correct, the NFL. I figure the Chiefs' importance emphasizing options.
What options in particular?
I would say probably.
yeah, fuck you. All right. I hate having those fucking prank callers. You know?
Yeah.
He couldn't fucking help himself. So you know what?
No.
Whatever. No. I believe we have Diane on the line. How are you doing, Diane?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, we have a second person now.
I'm good, Diane. Lou and I have been talking about the Super Bowl between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers coming up here. What are your thoughts on tomorrow's matchup?
I want the Chiefs tomorrow.
You think it'll be Kansas City? What do you think? You think it's going to be a close game?
Yeah.
What do you think the score is going to be?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be a close game.
All right. Well, who do you have potentially as the MVP pick for the best player if Kansas City's going to win?
Kelce.
Oh, Travis Kelce. I mean, that's definitely an option. I think, Lou. Depending on what parts of the what parts of the game he becomes a huge factor in.
Yes.
But that could kind of tie in. Like, imagine this. Just put on our tinfoil hats here for a second here. Imagine if you have Travis Kelce not only win the Super Bowl, he wins Super Bowl MVP, and then live on air, obviously, you know, Taylor Swift's going to be right by his side. Just imagine, and I think this is going to happen regardless. He ends up bending down and proposes to Taylor Swift live on air.
You think he would do that?
Oh, I think he would definitely do that. For somebody who wants the spotlight, you know, he always acts like this big shot. For the most part, whenever he's given a spotlight, I would not be surprised at all if he proposes to Taylor Swift if Kansas City wins, because I mean that would be the number one thing everybody would be talking about. They wouldn't be talking about Kansas City's win. They'd be talking about Taylor Swift Travis Kelce proposed to Taylor Swift live on right in the middle of the field.
I'm gonna go throw up.
You don't like Taylor Swift?
It isn't the place.
I mean, I like Taylor Swift, but you know, there's that, and then there's her basically inserting herself into, you know, for somebody who supposedly wants to stay out of the spotlight, she's basically become the whole. She's eclipsed every other team, including Kansas City, in this NFL season. This season has basically been the season of the Swifties, not the season of Kansas City or the season of San Francisco. It's basically become the season of Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just saw a picture of, let me see if I still have it. It just came up, I came up on one of the Facebook sites with one of my colleagues, and it had a reference to it. Let me see if I still have it up here. Oh. Or it might have been gone, because every time I go back and look for it on the Facebook site, it might be gone. But it may reference the Kansas City, I think it's like the Kansas City Swifties. Oh, God.
Now, by the way, as far as the spread right now is 1.5 for San Francisco heading into tomorrow's matchup.
Went down again.
Hang on one second. Let me bring in. Let me bring in the man. Without him, without his help, none of these podcasts would be possible. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing good. Trying to stay dry. It's been raining all day.
Yeah.
I know you've been pretty busy. You've been pretty busy with everything that's going on. Today.
Covered some ground today. We in Little Rock, Arkansas tonight for the night. So tucked in and all safe and dry. So, you were talking about the Taylor Swift thing, I was just going to tell you that a good friend of ours, Michael Doyle, messaged me earlier asking me who was I going to pick, because he said his dad was picking San Francisco and he thought he was going to pick Kansas City. And I said, well, I think I'm going to, I picked San Francisco. And he said, yeah, but I'm worried about this Taylor Swift thing. I said, yeah, oh, my God, she is one hell of a football player, ain't she? She's going to probably get 2 touchdowns tomorrow. I mean, he said, well,
let me guess, his ass believed it.
No. He said, well, you know, Catherine, you know, which is his wife, Catherine is only watching because of Taylor Swift. She don't like football. I said, there's a lot of people doing that just to see Taylor Swift and what's going on. And he said, she also said I really love Taylor Swift, but that boyfriend of hers is ugly.
Hey, it looks like one Super Bowl, you know.
And you know what's weird is he got the better of the looks between both Kelce brothers.
I know. He's the better looking, but it still ain't good. I mean, go look at Mom and Daddy. They didn't. I'll stop there.
Right.
But I don't know. I think maybe everybody's wrong. I don't know. I think maybe the whole thing for me is San Francisco's defense. I think it's way better than Kansas City's. And I mean, what's going to happen if Kansas City can't stop San Francisco running the ball? That's going to really open up the throwing. McCaffrey could have a big game. Debo could have a big game. They've got a great tight end themselves.
George Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, what if San Francisco does what they've been like what they did the last? What if they come up with two or three turnovers, and they go up like, 31-10? I mean, then Mahomes just has to throw, and San Francisco tees off on him. I actually think this could be a blowout for San Francisco.
Oh, I hope.
You can't tell me that the 49ers players and coaches haven't had enough of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and his wife. Don't you think they sick of this shit?
Well, I'm sure.
And, yes, Andy Reid is fantastic. I've always been a fan of Andy Reid. He got screwed over in Philly. They run him out of town, said he couldn't manage. He had poor clock management. And you see what he's gone on to do. And I'm really happy for him because I like Andy Reid. He's just a good old guy.
Yeah.
But Kyle Shanahan ain't nothing to mess around with either.
Right, and you got to think, Jim, that after having previously faced the same exact team, a couple of years ago, back in 2019, you got to think that Kyle Shanahan isn't gonna exactly attack the same exact way that he did back then.
Well, another thing I think we brought up last week on the pod is all the Niners have to do is follow Belichick's game plan against Kansas City. Even as bad as New England could be, their defense still always handled KC pretty good. And it started with double-teaming Kelce. They took him out of the game. And there's no Tyreek Hill there now.
Nope.
I think everybody's underestimating San Francisco and just building up Kansas City because they've been there, and oh my God, they got Patrick Mahomes, and they got Taylor Swift. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, honestly, as far as
the marriage thing, I totally disagree on that, too. If I'm Kelce, ain't no way I'm risking asking somebody to marry me after we just lost the Super Bowl or we just won the Super Bowl, and maybe she don't say yes. You will be the biggest dumbass ever in the history of national television if she don't say yes.
Yeah.
Well, the other
thing about that, I asked JJ about it, and I said, what would you think about it? And she said, Jim, no. If that was like us, no, you better not do that. That's private. That's a personal moment. That ain't for TV.
Yeah, but all he cares about is the spotlight. That's the thing.
Yeah, but she's involved. It ain't just him. She don't have to say yes right then. She can just look at him with a big smile and not nod yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And just leave him hanging.
But the point is,
and then everybody, and then of course, then everybody's going to keep watching them because, well, is she going to ever say yes? Is she going to say yes? Is she going to say yes?
The point is, it would make for television, though.
Yes,
it would make that's different. A marriage proposal, that's different. It's just different. Having a baby, a marriage proposal, a death, that stuff don't belong on the Super Bowl.
No.
I agree. It doesn't. But I would not be surprised at all if that's exactly what happens. Because
well,
you know
got,
that it's
I
gonna,
mean,
that,
he don't really need much more publicity. He's got some of the new commercials coming out tomorrow on the Super Bowl. I've already seen them. And Kelsey's in some of those.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't even seen the commercials for tomorrow. I'm gonna have to check after we get off the air here.
There's some good ones. There's some good ones. And the Clydesdales are back. Everybody loves
the
Clydesdales.
Yes.
Tell me there's a Doritos.
Everybody
one.
Loves the Clydesdales.
Yes.
Yes, I think there is a Doritos one.
Yes.
Because usually there's always a creative Doritos one. I still remember the one where a guy closes a screen door with a dog outside, and he holds the Dorito in front of the screen door, taunting the dog, and you see the dog running, the pug running in slow motion.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the pug breaks through the screen door and tramples the guy basically just to get the bag of Doritos. I still laugh my ass off every single time I see that commercial.
Oh,
he basically mimics the dog the entire time.
The Clydesdale one is going to bring back the Clydesdales and the dog that was in with the Clydesdales in the previous commercials. It's going to be about a town having to shut down because of so much snow, and the delivery can't get to the local pub, can't get to the bar, they can't get Budweiser there, and here comes the Clydesdales and that dog.
We were watching
been foiled.
The Super Bowl commercials last night at his house.
Yeah, you were watching them earlier, Diane? Previous ones?
It was a special.
Actually, what it was they were doing the this year's top 10 list for Super Bowl commercials of all time, and they were previewing this year's commercials, so it kind of tied into it.
You talking about the one
with
Boomer? Yeah, I saw that with Boomer Esiason was one of the hosts.
And they counted
down the best 10 of all time, and then they got it down to the top two where they did
mine
the vote.
Mine was number two.
And, of course, you had to see the little boy with Mean Joe Green.
Yep, that's the best. That's the best one.
Yep.
It's still up there. It's still the one. If you watch that show, Steve, it reminds you of – They even showed some that weren't in the top 10, but were funny. I mean, there's been some really good Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. There's always certain ones in particular that you look for. You know, later on, every single year, basically.
And there, Usher's doing a halftime show. He's in one of the commercials too.
Yes.
Yeah, and I heard in particular. Apparently, they're going to have I guess they're going to have Alicia Keys join him on stage apparently too as one of his guests.
Now that I would like to see.
Good. Yeah, and there's more people besides that, but yeah, that one's definite. I mean, they basically confirmed that one.
Now, hang on one second. Let's see. We got. Let me take a guess.
Who was Roger?
Yeah. Well, I think we have Roger calling back in. Roger, you going to laugh at us again?
Hello?
What's up, Roger?
I'm assuming this is Roger, right?
I think you got the wrong person. This is Mike.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, okay. Sorry, we had somebody call earlier that was basically, I guess, trying to mock our conversation or whatever. So, sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, I heard that a little bit ago. It was like, 10 minutes ago? Yeah. Yeah, fucking troll.
How's
retard.
It going, Mike? What do you think?
Hey, what's
Are
up,
you
man?
Thinking Super Bowl?
I think, it actually is Roger, you fuckers.
Yeah, fuck you, you fucking asshole. All right, you know what? Fuck this shit. All right. So,
who the hell is Roger?
Well, it was this fucking Roger dude, whoever, you know, a fucking troll who's going to, guess what? Try calling in again. Guess what? We're not fucking connecting you. So.
It's probably not even someone named Roger. It's probably a guy that's real name is probably something like, let's see, what would this guy's name have been? Lily or maybe Luisha or to me,
yeah.
he sounded more like a Lisa or a Jamie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, who knows, but anyways, you know, Jim, one of the other things I wanted to cover tonight, and we kind of talked about this last week, you know, we said last week that there would be more information coming out about Vince McMahon, and I don't know if you saw the thing that I posted last week. Or not last week. I think it was a couple of days ago. But there was you remember Ashley Massaro, right? Who used to be...
Yeah, I already knew all about that story. She was on Survivor. I knew all about Ashley.
Yeah, well, apparently there was a statement that originally was left out of one of the articles that came out about her story. Basically, for people who don't know, during every year the WWE would do a troops show where basically, you know, they would put on a show for the troops over in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they would go. And basically, she essentially was drugged and raped by a member of the Army. She went to Vince and several other people during this time. And basically, they told her to stay silent because they didn't want to cause a rift between the WWE and the United States military. Now, apparently a lawyer for former WWE executive John Laurinaitis has said that Laurinaitis and most of upper management were aware of this situation, which WWE had claimed for years it was untrue. And now, obviously WWE hasn't commented on this since it was brought back up. There was another statement that was unveiled recently that basically Massaro claimed that she saw Vince making out with female wrestlers in the locker room and that he eventually sexually harassed her. She also said that after she rejected his advances, he wrote demeaning scripts for her to perform that she inferred were meant to end her career and destroy her reputation, which something that she had said had previously happened to another female wrestler before that wrestler ended up leaving the company. And of course, this was reported by Vice. Vice, though, withheld the name of this wrestler in order to protect the privacy of said wrestler, and they could not be reached for comment. And also, Massaro, in this statement that she had given, detailed two of McMahon's long-serving lieutenants who counseled her on how to deal with this behavior. I guess we can't say that this is really a surprise,
As far as the Ashley Massaro stuff, no, it's not a surprise. I mean, it's been out there for years. I think most people believed it, and then unfortunately she passed away, and she's not here to even talk about it. So. I don't know what'll happen with that because she's not here. She's deceased. I think that'd be a tough case if you don't have her here to talk about it. But I know that story's been out there for forever.
Well, in particular, there's actually a couple of other things that she said. And you wanna maybe wonder why Kevin Dunn stepped down from his spot with the company. She said that she had called Kevin Dunn to explain the situation, and he said that she should tell Vince she was not feeling well and that she would see him on TV the next day. And that's when Vince immediately started writing her promos for her afterwards. And she even brought the first script that Vince wrote for her to the WWE employee who was in charge of creative at the time, which was Michael P.S. Hayes. And he said, "You're not saying this. Who the fuck wrote this?" And she then told him that Vince did. And he goes, "Well, kid, these are the breaks," meaning that Vince wanted to end her career and destroy her reputation on the way out.
Yes.
So you had Kevin Dunn, who knew about stuff like this going on. He literally just left the company not too long ago. Then you have Bruce Pritchard, who was basically Vince McMahon's right-hand man. Let's face it, he's like the top stooge for Vince and had been for years. He is refusing to comment on the matter, claiming that he is not a part of it, which, I mean, to be fair, it's quite possible that he might be and doesn't want to incriminate himself. Now, granted, you can't really listen to anything Ryback says, but as Ryback claimed, there would be more stuff that would come out in regards to this, in regards to Vince and his problems that he's now going to be dealing with.
Well, what everybody's waiting for people that are still around that were part of that back then. They're waiting on somebody else to come out, like Trish Stratus or Maryse or, whoever. So, yes, we brought it with us, Steve. You don't have to ask me.
Oh, my God. The clock. Jeez, Jim.
There's a story behind that because she feels about it like most everybody else does on the different podcasts. She likes it about as much as everybody else does. and so I put it in the trunk.
Oh my
God. Anyway, I think what everybody's waiting for, Steve, is somebody like that. Maybe a thinking back, maybe Eve Torres or Maurice or Stacy Keebler, Trish Stratus, Sable, before she was a Brock, Maria Kanellis. I think everybody's kind of waiting on somebody like that to come out and say something. You know, there had to be other people. I mean, I think pretty much everyone agrees with that. But it's, do any of these other people want to risk their life? Oh, I'll tell you another good one that it came out was Jackie Gata.
Right. I remember her. One of the
that was another
tough
story.
Enough
winners. I mean, Ashley was a story, and so was Jackie Gata, because her husband, who was a wrestler at the time up there, he talked
Charlie
about
Haas.
It. Yeah, he talked about it. So I'm sure there
right.
are others.
I forgot
it
about
just,
that.
I'm sure there are others. It just depends on if any of them want to come forward.
Right. It's, also Kevin Nash spoke up about this recently. And now he's said he's only seen blurbs in the mainstream news. He hasn't read fully anything about this. But he's basically what he did is it sounded like he basically mocked the entire thing. Basically saying that this woman could have very easily had a consensual relationship with Vince, and that Linda found out about it, and that's when Vince cut it off, got the woman to sign an NDA just like the other four women did. And clearly there's a pattern there, as in cheating, not abuse. So basically Kevin Nash is trying to say that this was all consensual and that basically the abuse talk is basically nothing. But yet, here you have John Laurinaitis, who's trying to claim that he was a victim of Vince. So, I mean, I would think, I would think that somebody like John Laurinaitis would know more about this as opposed to, to somebody like, to somebody like Kevin Nash, who, even though he's real good friends with Shawn Michaels and Triple H and others, he hasn't really been behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of what Nash has said is true. I mean, he's got so much money, and it's nothing. I don't think they'll end up having him charged with a crime. I mean, he's going to lose some money in civil court and in the lawsuit, but I don't think nothing's going to happen to him as far as a crime to where he would have to go to jail or anything.
No, I because wouldn't expect it.
Part of what Nash said, and I'm all on the girl's side because I understand how you can get wrapped up in that and it's hard to get out of it. But part of what Nash said is true. I mean, and Cornette even said this, you can't just say, I'm done. I quit. Leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
Trust me, I'm on her side, and I know how you can get caught up in that, but you can just say, leave me alone or I'm going to call the cops.
Right. And it just shows you how much in the business world, how much threats can actually, completely control, especially with a girl like her who I remember Cornette had described as, probably somebody who had just gotten her first big you know, her first big position in the business world, you know, and stuff like this, you know, ends up happening. And she obviously, you know, she didn't want to risk having to lose this position, considering the fact that, you know, she was making God knows how much money.
Right.
I've still been looking up stuff about what people are saying about the Super Bowl, and I'm looking at ESPN, and they had 64 quote unquote experts weigh in with their picks, and out of the 64, 49 picked the Chiefs. And 15
yep.
picked San Francisco.
And for NFL.com, it's 24-7 for Kansas City as well.
That don't really scare me because I think that don't scare me because this is kind of like how it used to be with New England and ESPN. Now it's Kansas City and ESPN.
Yeah.
ESPN's going to pick – they're going to pick Kansas City. I mean, and here's other notices. ESPN bet currently favors San Francisco by 1.5. Of the experts in this pool, 52 have the game going over 47.5, while 12 like the under. ESPN's football power index – likes the 49ers by an average of 3.1 points.
Yeah. Yeah, and in particular
I mean, some of these experts, I mean, some of these experts, who is Alden Gonzalez, Ben Baby, Brooke Pryor, Courtney Cronin, David Newton, David Purdom, Elizabeth Merrill, Eric Carabell, Eric Moody, Eric Woodyard, Eric Dolan, Jason Reed, Jeff Legwood, Jenna Lane, Jordan Ronan, Josh Weinfuss. I mean, who are these people? These are experts? Lindsey Thury, Liz Loza, Marcel Jacques.
Yeah.
I mean, these are experts, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw
they do have some. I don't, and I still, you know, I still don't know how that I'd call them an expert. But Sal Palantonio, RG3, Rex Ryan, Mina Kimes, Matt Miller, Marcus Spears, Trotter, Dan Orlovsky. Now I do like. Usually what Orlovsky has to say. He's pretty smart.
Right.
Dan Graziano.
Yeah, he's pretty on top of things.
Yeah, I like Orlovsky. I like him a lot. Who else they got on here that we would know? Teddy Bruschi, Tim Hasselback, Tim McManus. All these different people picked San Francisco. Now Kansas City, any names that we know that picked the 49ers, Jeremy Fowler.
David Carr picked the Niners.
Seth Wickersham, Todd Archer. That's about it. Somebody named Daniel
Goff. You know what Wickersham was the guy who leaked all the problems about New England in Brady's last year.
Yeah, Wickersham picked San Francisco 20-19. Todd Archer is a Cowboys reporter. He picked San Francisco 28-26. I'm looking here. I don't see no – well, that's kind of a blowout. The Baltimore Ravens reporter, Jameson Hensley, he picked San Francisco 31-17. That's – and Daniel Dopp, the fantasy analyst for NFL on ESPN, he picked San Francisco 31-20. Let me see if anybody's got Kansas City with a blowout. Hasselback picked them by 10, 27-17. Palantonio by 10, 30-20. RG3, 31-21. Mike Tannenbaum, 31-21. Mike Reese, 31-21. Josh Weinfuss, a Cardinals reporter, 33-24. Jason Reed, senior NFL writer, 34-17. Wow. Cincinnati Bengals reporter, Ben Baby, 34-14, Kansas City.
Yeah, he's probably still sore from the ass whipping that Kansas City gave Cincinnati. That's probably why.
And as far as MVP, Mahomes got the most picks, 38 of the 64 votes. Kelce and McCaffrey were next with 9. Purdy with 3. Fred Warner with 2. Chris Jones, Debo Samuel, Pacheco, all with 1.
Yeah, I saw a couple on NFL.com that had Pacheco getting the MVP. In particular, really the only notable names that I saw on NFL, Lance Zierlein had the Niners. David Carr, former NFL quarterback, had the Niners by 28-27. He also said that Patrick Mahomes will throw the most yards since Brady threw for 505 against the Eagles in New England's Super Bowl loss.
I think San Francisco is going to shut down Kansas City's run. Mahomes is going to have to throw. He's going to have to scramble. It just depends on how good he is at it. And can they double-team Kelce and still guard the other receivers? I don't know.
Right.
I like San Francisco's defense.
And as far as any actual NFL, former NFL players picking Kansas City for the NFL, the only one I recognize is Maurice Jones-Drew, taking Kansas City 28-24. It's worth noting, too, that ESPN has San Francisco winning 60-40%.
Yeah, and the spread, the record against the spreads this season, San Francisco's 9-10, Kansas City's 12-7-1. Over and under, San Francisco's 10-9, Kansas City's 6-14.
Ooh, I find it interesting. Seth Wickersham is saying that Fred Warner will be the MVP.
I'm going with my boy from Arkansas, Dre Greenlaw. He got 2 picks last time. I think he's going to do it again.
You know what? I forget who it was, but somebody did say that they did name him as an X factor if San Francisco were to win.
Yeah.
That the X factor would be Greenlaw.
It looked like the spread's up to 2.5 now. That tells me
Chip,
the money's been going on San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Now, Jim, we also had the NFL Awards come out this week. And despite only playing, I think it was like 4 games in the regular season, Joe Flacco won the Comeback Player of the Year over Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I saw some flack about that, and I saw some flack about the guy from the Bills, Hamlin.
DeMar Hamlin.
But
yeah.
I don't remember Hamlin playing.
he only dressed for 5 of the 17 games.
Yeah.
Right.
So Yeah, I don't know about that. I think I would have voted Baker.
I would have voted Baker too. That's why I was kind of surprised that that it was Flacco that ended up winning it, considering he only played like four games.
Yeah, I mean it's getting to a point where it's like, what does Baker have to do to get some respect? I mean, I've always thought he was pretty good, and I mean he got Cleveland to the playoffs before they were even this good like they were this season. He got them there before now. And,
yep.
I mean, look what he's done in Tampa replacing Brady. I know a lot of people think he's kind of cocky and kind of a little hothead, but, you know, I mean, most quarterbacks are. I don't know how in the heck Flacco gets it just because he put together three or four good games when Baker did it over an entire season. And look how far he took Tampa.
Well, you know what's funny is they said that DeMar Hamlin came in second.
And
Baker came
in
third.
How does that happen?
Because he suffered cardiac arrest in 2022.
But he didn't play this year. I mean, he was – how do you win comeback player? If you're going to say comeback story, okay, I'm there. But if you're going to say comeback player,
right?
How does he talk what Baker
did?
Okay,
I get it now.
Right. It makes no sense. But then again, you know, these are the same people who also voted for the entire Cleveland Browns staff to be the coaching staff of the year, not just the main coach, but also the assistant coach too. So, I mean, it's basically there was a lot of Cleveland love for this for the NFL awards this year. Miles Garrett he won Defensive Player of the Year over T.J. Watt and Micah Parsons. Coach of the Year went to Kevin Stefanski. I'm surprised that he won over D'Amico Ryan. You mean to tell me that a team who had been a laughingstock the last couple of years, to turn them around and turn them into a playoff team, you mean to tell me that's not worthy of Coach of the Year?
Yeah, that was a tough one this season, I think. I think the job the guy did with the Packers was real good after, you know, letting Rodgers go and going with Jordan Love, who it looks like is the real deal. And, you know, the guy with the Dolphins did okay. Shanahan at San Francisco. Something, you know, a lot of times when a team's, you know, expected to be good and the coach wins 12 or 13 games, they don't think about them because they think, oh, well, hell, look at the team you had. But there's been a lot of teams with a lot of talent that didn't do that. So, I would have definitely had D'Amico up there and the Browns. Yeah. Their coach, I'd have probably went with D'Amico, of course, the Eagles coach was out of it this time.
Yeah.
Dallas's coach is never in it. I'll tell you who I would have took. I'll tell you who I would have took. I just thought about it. Dan Campbell.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised he wasn't in it either. It was either Stefanski or Ryan. They said that Stefanski won by one first place vote.
Yeah.
Over Ryan.
Shocking, isn't it?
21-20.
I would have picked Dan Campbell. D'Amico would have been second, and Stefanski would have been third. And it would have been
and
close.
I mean,
it's close. Trust me. I mean, that's close. But I would have went with Dan Campbell because, you know, everyone wants to talk about what D'Amico did changing the coach. So did Dan Campbell. He changed everything in Detroit.
Right. And, Jim, I guess the big thing here, though, is that Stefanski, because he lost Nick Chubb in week two, and he lost Deshaun Watson midway through the season. Apparently, that was enough to give him Coach of the Year.
Well, Flacco's not a bad guy to rely on when you're surrounding him with some talent.
Right.
D'Amico did it with a rookie, and
both rookies
Dan
of
Campbell,
the year, might I add.
Dan Campbell. Just totally resurrected the Detroit Lions from the dead. I mean, they ain't done crap forever. And now you're looking at them as, what, a few points away from being in the Super Bowl.
It's
a tough call, but, I don't have any problem. I mean, Stefanski... I don't have a problem with that. I just probably would have went with D'Amico or Campbell instead. But Stefanski, good.
Right, and might I add too that D'Amico Ryans did it with both rookies of the year, with DJ Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. winning both offensive and defensive rookies of the year, respectively.
Yeah, he had another Alabama stud rookie on that defense too. So, I knew how good Anderson was going to be. Man, you could not block that guy in SEC. You could not block him. Okay, you couldn't block him. You couldn't get him. You could not get him out of the backfield. You could not keep him off your runners. I mean, he's good, and he's a rookie. Just imagine how good he's going to get. I mean, he's way.
Now,
I mean, everybody wants to talk about Micah Parsons. Give me Will. I'll take Anderson every day over Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, I honestly think that Micah's case, he's more of a product of that defensive system, if anything. He was a product of Dan Quinn.
And Dan Quinn's already showed how smart he's going to be as a head coach.
Oh yeah.
He said.
I mean,
didn't he say bye bye to Eric Bieniemy?
Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's how
but,
smart
I mean,
he is.
He blew it in Atlanta, too, so.
Yeah, he's – I don't think – I'd have never took – oh, my God, I'd never took the Washington job.
Yeah. And also, apparently it came out that that Bill Belichick, apparently, he rejected the Atlanta job. They actually offered it to him.
Right. I guess he wanted to take a year off and do some TV and see if he really had the desire to coach again. And if he does, I mean, there'll probably be better jobs open next season. And he may not even want to do it again. I mean, he's going to do some TV. Nick Saban's doing TV for college football. I don't think Nick will come back. I do think Bill will probably come back because he still wants that. He wants that all time record.
Yeah. I would say, if anything, that the only way we see Bill Belichick having a job this year is if somehow Andy Reid retires after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Andy ain't going nowhere. Andy ain't going nowhere. Andy ain't going nowhere. He got it too set up there. He ain't leaving that. No. He ain't going nowhere.
All right.
Yeah, I would be very surprised, if anything, if Andy
And I don't think, you know, if Dallas don't, as they do what they normally do, they win a bunch of games and then choke, I don't think Belichick wants to coach in Dallas. So I don't think he'd go there. But there'll be some stuff come open.
Yeah. You know what scares me, Jim? Apparently the Patriots, there's talk of them trading down.
Yeah. Yep, going out in free agency and getting maybe somebody like Kirk Cousins or somebody like that, and then trading down.
I hate to tell you, but Kirk Cousins, he ain't going to New England. If anything, he'll be going to back to Minnesota. If anything,
more than likely, he's on one of the new Super Bowl commercials too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just scares me to hell.
Believe it or not, he's on a Super Bowl commercial dancing as like a member of the Magic Mike cast.
Oh my God!
You heard it here first, folks. Yeah.
I can't remember who the other guy was.
Jim, I have a bad feeling that what's going to happen is Elliot Wolf, there's been a rumor that he's been wanting to that he's going to take that tackle Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, I think it is. And I have this weird feeling that, you know, they'll trade down from the number 3 pick, but they're not going to get what the number 3 pick is worth. In the end, like, you know that crazy trade that that San Francisco made to get Trey Lance, where they traded like all those number one picks, or they traded all those first round picks.
Where is he at now?
Exactly. But what I'm saying is though, you know, New England has the opportunity to either take their future their new franchise quarterback, or to take a number one wide receiver. And instead, what they're probably going to do is they're probably going to trade down now, take that tackle from Notre Dame, and I just have this odd feeling that they're going to somehow screw this up.
Yes.
Like, it's going to become another one of those Bill Belichick type of...
Kraft has publicly said, I'll spend the money.
Yeah.
Well, they better fucking spend the money. That much I'll say. They better do something, because they need to improve their offensive line. They need to. They have players like Calvin Ridley and T. Higgins going to free agency this year. If they're going to really spend money, you know, actually spend the money. Don't just don't pull a Red Sox. You know, with what John Henry is doing.
You don't ever hear John Henry come out and say, I don't know what the beef's about. I will spend the money. John Henry ain't going to say that.
No.
But Kraft did. Kraft came out publicly said, the money ain't the issue. I will spend the money.
I kind of believe him.
I kind of believe Kraft.
Oh, no, I definitely do, because he already spends the money for their soccer team that they have.
And I think they want to be able to show, look, you know, maybe they're not going to win Super Bowl next season, but what if they win 10 or 11 games? He wants to be able to show fans, see, we can do it without Tom or Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By the way, we have Alex joining us on the line here as we're discussing the potential nightmare scenario coming forward for the Patriots. How are you doing, Alex?
Good, guys and gals. How's everyone doing? I just heard you about talking about that's a crazy rumor. They might potentially take a tackle. That's maybe something.
Yeah, they're going to trade down from number three.
Come on, that's something you do. Like, if the Texans, you think about that, you have your quarterback, now you build around him with the line. I mean, the Patriots, they got to make a splash. They haven't had the weaponry and the speed on the outside or a star quarterback since Brady left town. They got a brand new coach. The energy level's high. There's optimism now. It's a brand new day in July in New England.
And I think the credit Mayo, he's putting together a pretty good coaching staff.
Absolutely, Jim. I totally agree with you. Now it's like, how often do you want to? You guys are never used to being in the basement. You're not gonna, you know, how often are you gonna get a top three or top four pick in a good draft? If there's three or four really good promising quarterbacks, and if you're not gonna go quarterback, which would be kind of a shocker. At least you get maybe the best wide receiver in the last 10 years in the draft. You get Marvin Harrison, and then maybe you get a free agent quarterback. But if they go offensive tackle,
yeah, I think that's kind of what they're looking at. I think what they're looking at now is maybe get a free agent quarterback, and maybe keep. Well, I don't think they'll keep Mac. I don't know what they'll do about a backup, but. And then you decide, do we go left tackle or do we go wide receiver? And that will be a huge debate. But, yeah, if you're going to go out, I mentioned Kirk Cousins just because I know he's one of the free agents. I don't think he'll go to New England, but somebody like that you could plug in there and you bring in a Marvin Harrison, but they may feel like they can go out and spend some money with free agents or make a trade, because there are some big name wide receivers supposedly on the trade block, like Diggs from Buffalo. And they could sign, what's his name from Cincinnati, Higgs?
Higgins.
I mean, there are wide receivers out there if they would go spend the money. And Kraft came out this week and said, I will spend the money. That's not the issue. I will spend the money. So there's a lot of different ways they can go right now, and I don't think they're, you know, maybe they are decided and they're just playing coy to see what kind of deals they can make.
Yeah.
I don't think they've really decided yet which way to go.
Yeah, and, you know, it's never, you know, it's always a smart, it's not going to be the sexy move, but, yeah, getting if this guy is incredible, the left tackle for the next 10 or 12 years and an all pro every year, you look back in two or three years going, wow, it's a great pick. But I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, the new coaching staff, a new day in New England, they really need weaponry. If you're not going to get, you know, I get, like, Jim, I love what you said. There are free agents. So I get one or the other. I'd get a quarterback and a wide receiver, one in the draft, one in free agency. I mean, that's what I do. And you're not going to be able to pick this high in the future, for unless, you know, you don't want to be stuck in the bottom of the division again. So it's
right.
Like, this is the time to get a star player.
I mean, and
way
they
up
don't,
high in the star player.
They don't have to look for a tight end. They've got an all pro with Hunter Henry. They don't have
like
to look for a running back. They've got good running backs.
They didn't have
the line, and they didn't have the quarterback. They didn't have wide receivers.
Yeah.
They had a lineman. They didn't have a quarterback. They had running backs. They had a tight end, and they had really good pieces on defense. So
yeah. I mean,
it's not like Mayo is taking over a cupboard that's bare. There's something there to work with, and they could be one of these teams that you always talk about. Well, who's the biggest turnaround this season? You know, next year we'd be talking about, wow, look how good Mayo turned out to be the coach. What a pick by Kraft. And look at what they did in the off season, and shit, what are they now? 11-5 right now and almost go make the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out of the realm. They could do that.
But if they go free agency for quarterback, I think I love what you're saying. They definitely have pieces. They have a really, really good defense. They already have a pretty good, you know, they have the pieces, a really good running back. Really, I love the Razorback. I love Hunter Henry. They got to keep using him more. But, I mean, you're not going to get the chance to pick a Jaden Daniels. You pick him, you could be set for the next 13, 14 years. You know, if he turns out to be a total stud, I mean, this guy could be sensational. Or you go like a Kirk Cousins, that's almost like a Band-Aid for a couple of years just to patch it up a little bit. I don't know. They're paying so high.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with Kirk Cousins.
You got a franchise quarterback here. No, not at all. But, like, if you can get a game changer, like an elite quarterback, I think you got to do it. They're picking so high this year. I'd be shocked.
You know what this makes me think, though?
I really like the staff that Mayo's putting. When they hired Van Pelt, I told Steve, I said, I love that. I like that.
Jim,
and,
did you see they brought back Hightower?
I mean,
Hightower, linebacker coach. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm agreeing with you both. I mean, I really like Mayo. I think, and Kraft's no fool. He had this rolled up his sleeve the whole time. He had this. That guy was handpicked. Go out maybe 2 years for all we know. He was waiting in the wings. He was the next coach.
Yeah,
all along. Kraft didn't even interview anyone.
And the players love him, and he's respected around the league. So that will help them trying to sign free agents. And you know, maybe in the last couple of years, maybe that kind of hurt us because people had heard how it is with the Patriot way under Belichick, and they didn't want to go there.
Yeah, I think it just kind of wore the shine was off the, you know, the bloom was off the rose. He had such a great run in New England, but with the drafting and with a lot of, he kept putting people in the doghouse every week. A lot of players were getting moved and then benched. Even the Super Bowl when they benched cornerbacks in the Super Bowl, it was just getting a little stale. I think Mayo's going to be a breath of fresh air.
You know what this tells me, though?
I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic.
Jim,
well,
you know what this tells me?
I'm more optimistic for them than I am the Red Sox.
Oh, fair,
Jim.
Sox.
Okay. Jim, you know what this tells me, though? This tells me that they liked what they saw out of the quarterbacks that they had to work with at the Senior Bowl. They're probably going to take somebody like a Spencer Rattler or a Joe Milton.
Rattler's not bad. Rattler's not bad.
I'd just double up then. I'd go. You're getting the best guy maybe since Randy Moss. I'd go receiver Marvin Harrison and then get a quarterback second round. Boom.
The whole thing is a lot of the talk with Caleb Williams is from what I have seen and read. A lot of talk with Caleb Williams is so-called experts, and again, we say that and we preface it with, it's really just their opinion. They may not know more than you do. But the so-called experts, a lot of them think he's a once-in-a-lifetime talent and compare him to Mahomes. But there are others who say, slow down. He ain't nowhere near that.
Hell no. I don't think so.
And there's a lot of talk about his ego and how he is and his demands and stuff. So, and then you go to the kid from North Carolina, and everybody's like, well, you know, he's the old typical drop back NFL quarterback. Well, okay, that's great, but does that work anymore? I mean, it worked with Brady, but does it work now?
No.
How many guys don't have to scramble around and move and maybe run or throw on the run? How many typical top quarterbacks do you see that are drop back, stay in the pocket quarterbacks? It's
Unless you have a terrific offensive line.
That scares me about him. And then you get to the kid I like from LSU, Daniels.
That's the guy there.
Yeah.
And number three. That's the guy. That's got to be the pick, I think.
I think he's the guy. If I was at number one and I wasn't going to give the job to Fields anymore, I'm probably taking Daniels over Caleb Williams. I saw the kid play. He throws a pretty pass, man. He can throw deep. He can run. He checks off. He knows how to go to secondary receivers. He had good coaching with Brian Kelly. I mean, he's going to be – whoever gets him – and see, all right, they made this comparison with Caleb to Mahomes, which, I mean –
That's kind of laughable.
You don't, that's like, you don't see nobody comparing somebody to Brady, do you?
It's getting laughable to compare
him to Mahomes. But what they're comparing Daniels to is C.J. Stroud.
Mahomes didn't go crying to his mama.
And Daniels can run more than Stroud.
Yeah.
He could be better.
Yeah, see,
and, I'm just saying.
And Stroud can do that, but not like Daniels.
Yeah, and it's like you guys are so close to the top of the draft, man. How many times are you ever going to chance to get a transcendent quarterback, a true game changer?
Well, I mean, that's what we're going to wait and see, because normally in the draft, we always screw it up and trade down. And Bill just thinks he's smarter than everybody else in the world, and he'll draft somebody out of Timbuktu, and they'll be an NFL MVP pro pick the first season because Bill thinks he's that damn smart. Well, he's gone. So now what are we going to do? Are we going to still keep doing that, or are we going to start loading up with some players that everyone expects things out of and not just Belichick? Everyone sees – what this player can be. I mean, my God, Belichick drafted a damn center number one time.
Jimbo, to be fair, drafting people from bumfuck nowhere, to be fair, the last person he did that to besides Cole Strange was Kyle Duggar out of Lenore Ryan, and we've seen what Duggar has turned into.
I'm not saying he wasn't good at it, and mostly it was Belichick had a real talent for finding defensive backs from out of nowhere that he didn't have to pay too much to until they started showing how good they were, and then he let them go. Or like he did with certain players, he put them in the doghouse until they wanted out. So
yeah, right.
I don't know. New England, even when they had Brady and the wide receivers and Gronk and I mean, Moss and Edelman and Welker and all the players we had, we still weren't ever really known as being a flashy team. Like all these offenses you hear about now, like the Rams offense or Dallas's offense or Buffalo or Kansas City, we weren't thought of like that. Everybody knew we had great offensive talent, but they always knew we had a good defense. You know, it's always the other side of it. We were good everywhere. We had an O-line. We had a D-line. We had skilled players. We never had running backs. You know, we had guys that were decent but never big-name running backs that were going to rush for 1,500 yards because we had Brady and the receivers.
Oh, wow.
But
right.
We could flip this thing around to where we're one of these teams that now all of a sudden we're thought of as a high juggernaut offense. We could be like a Miami. We could be like a Buffalo. We could get involved and play the new kind of game that's being played in the NFL now.
you know, because we've got a number three pick. There are good free agents available. There are trades that could be made. We could rebuild so quick, people wouldn't even know what hit them next year.
You can get a franchise quarterback, and then you can sign a number one receiver. You can get Diggs or Calvin Ridley. I mean, like you said, in a couple of weeks, you could turn it around and have a brand new offense with a brand new coach.
I mean,
it would be stunning if they went offensive tackle. Stunning to me.
I mean, tell you right now, bring back Hunter Henry, bring back Kendrick Bourne, and go after a receiver in another receiver in free agency like a T. Higgins or a Calvin Ridley.
In my opinion,
I'd probably want Ridley due to the speed. And I mean, come on, just take a look at what he did in Jacksonville this year. I mean, you know. I do think, though, that Hunter Henry has to be one of their priorities because I don't see any other tight ends available.
Another thing about Hunter, I mean, let's just be honest with last year's team, how bad it got. Hunter Henry was one of the only players that didn't quit. He kept trying.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
The only thing that made him quit was the injury.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you saw this guy out there every week catching damn passes, being double-teamed and catching shit with one hand.
He's a stud. And they still weren't even utilizing him as much as they could have. He could have had 1,000 yards. I mean, he was their best weapon, I thought.
Right.
You know, besides Stevenson out of the backfield. Best pass catcher. He's a stud.
They could really flip this whole franchise, Steve, and I think that's what they're going to try to do. And I think that's the main reason. They could have brought Josh Daniels back at McDaniel as a OC. He would have came back in a heartbeat.
Right.
They didn't want that same old offense no more. They want something more. They want to open it up.
They want everything brand new. It's a whole new day. They don't want to keep out the old guys around, the old girlfriends. You know what I mean? It's like a brand new day. They want a whole facelift, everything new. All new color, which I think is good. You can't stay stuck in the past.
You know what I think? I would say, if anything, the one person that they needed to keep is specifically on the offensive, on the coaching side, is Troy Brown, wide receivers coach. I mean, honestly, not only is he a Patriot legend, but, I mean, there was not much with what Belichick was giving him last year in terms of wide receivers. I mean, come on, Tyquan Thornton, who has been proven to be a bust now. Devontae Parker, who can't catch worth a shit. Matter of fact, if you had a competition between him and Nelson Aguilar over who could drop the most balls, I think it would be one of the tightest competitions you would see.
We have never been able to draft wide receivers. We have never been able to draft offensive players unless they were linemen.
Well, no more Bill now. No
fucking
more,
Aaron Donald.
Belichick did not know skill positions. He
now,
freaking got lucky with Brady. Look when Brady was drafted. He just freaking got lucky with that.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, Aaron Dobson was better of a wide receiver than Tyquan Thornton.
Harry,
don't get me started on N'Keal Harry.
I like Troy Brown. I like the former players. I didn't mean clean house and don't keep any past Patriots around. I like Hightower.
No.
I was thinking more like the O'Brien, the McDaniels, the Patricia. I don't think he should be near a football field at all, but. Like I'm saying, those guys, don't let those guys stick around. Just get rid of the smell.
Right.
It was a good smell.
Oh,
there you go. I'm just saying,
I mean, of course, the defensive coordinator was there in place and got promoted, and nobody has a problem with that. I mean, we don't even talk about the defense because our defense was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Covington, there will be
no problem. Nobody has a problem,
no problem
with who the DC is.
Nope.
I think Troy – I agree with Steve. I think Troy Brown needs to still be the wide receiver coach.
I like that they didn't go Josh McDaniels. I like what they did. And who was the other one? Oh, I like Dante.
You,
I like Dante.
Yeah.
I like the new OC. I really like what they've done. And now they just need
also,
to
it's worth-
put the they and they brought back one of the Belichick kids. He's sticking around. The other one left.
Steve went to Washington. Steve went to Washington, the Huskies.
Yeah. But I don't have no problem with him coming back. I mean, I don't think Mayo would have done that if he didn't have confidence in him.
Yeah, Brian did well with the safeties. I have no problem with them bringing. Hell, I wouldn't have had a problem with them bringing Steve back because he was very tight with Mayo for those years on the defense, and also not to mention having continuity on the coaching staff wouldn't be a problem. I do think though that them deciding not to bring back Bill O'Brien basically shows that there's been a shift in philosophy now when it comes to running the offense.
Both things, Steve. O'Brien not coming back and not rehiring Josh. They're telling you we're not going to be the same offense you're used to seeing.
That offense wasn't working without Brady.
I sure as hell hope not.
Newsflash, without Brady, that offense wasn't doing shit in the NFL. That's the thing. That's why
let's be honest. They had some good guys. I mean, Welker was good. Edelman was good. Of course, Gronk was the best. Amendola was good. Randy Moss was fantastic. But there were some years where we didn't have those kind of guys, and Brady would still win games because he was Brady.
Well, right.
Mac Jones ain't Brady.
And another thing I noticed, too, and this is what kind of – I think if Bill had stayed, I don't think that they would have a shot of bringing back Hunter Henry. And the reason why I say this is because you look at what Bill did after Mac Jones's first year. I mean, hell – He stiffed Jacoby Myers by $1 million. He wouldn't give Jacoby Myers an extra $1 million on the contract because he was Mac's boy. And it's the same thing with Hunter Henry. You know, Hunter Henry became Mac's favorite receiver his first year. And then all of a sudden we saw what happened with Henry. He went from having a career high in touchdowns to basically becoming almost invisible on the offense. So I think, you know, maybe hopefully with Van Pelt at the helm here as the offensive coordinator, you know, maybe perhaps, obviously, you know, they're not going to stick with Mac because I believe one of those experts said that they could get like a day three pick, I think, in exchange for Mac Jones if they were to decide to trade him. I wouldn't be surprised if Mac does get traded if they feel they can get any sort of value.
You get a quarterback and then you sign a good solid like a Minshew type, maybe not someone like him quite, but like someone a veteran.
Brissette.
A Jaden Daniels. Yes, Daniels and like a Brissette. That's what I would do. Who am I? No one. But like, that's what I would do. I think Mayo wants a new quarterback. Kraft is looking for the next big thing too. I mean, they're ready to make a splash. They want to be back. They want to be proud again. You got your chance at a franchise quarterback right here, number three pick.
And also get some damn players who really actually want to fucking play. Don't give me another Trent Brown who fucking quits midway through a play, who literally acts like he's a fucking Alzheimer's patient wandering around the where the offensive line is supposed to be, not even bothering to try and block.
That was embarrassing. And the defense is kicking ass.
I mean, that was
so
fucking embarrassing.
Every snap, the defense is selling out, playing so tough. Such a blue-collar unit.
Right.
I mean.
All right, here, I'm going to read you the list of. Of course, there could be trades, but I'm going to read you the list of free agent quarterbacks. If they want to decide to go that route and then draft a wide receiver or a tackle, Garrett Gilbert, Nathan Rourke, Jake Browning, Felipe Franks, Wu Pig Sui, Logan Woodside, Mason Rudolph, Matt Barkley, A.J. McCarron, Trevor Siemian, Kyle Allen, Brandon Allen, Wu Pig Sui, Carson Wentz, Josh Johnson, Blaine Gabbert, Nate Sudfeld, Joshua Dobbs, Joe Flacco, Tyler Huntley, Teddy Bridgewater, Gardner Minshew, Baker Mayfield, Drew Locke, Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, here's an interesting name, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oof. A couple of years, man. He's just been,
ooh.
I don't know. Oh, Tannehill. I mean, imagine if they, okay, here are the new Patriots with Ryan Tannehill day one. I mean, you guys would be okay with that?
I would not be mad.
Over Jade Daniels.
Mike Vrabel did okay with him.
I'm not saying
over Jaden Daniels. I'm saying if they choose to go tackle or wide receiver,
I'd be okay
with Tannehill over a lot of those names. I'd rather have him than Jameis Winston.
Jim, you know what intrigues me as well?
If
you know
you're picking third,
if they can put together an offensive line, Jake Browning also intrigues me.
Top three pick. I mean, the quarterback staring you in the face, a franchise quarterback. If you pivot away from that, I don't know how you, Kraft or Mayo would do that. I don't know. Browning or – there's some good names there. But, I mean, you have a chance to get, like, a game-changing quarterback who's, like, 22 years old.
I agree, but
that's the thing. You're picking so high.
Well, I agree, too. I'm just saying if they choose not to go in that direction, this is the other option.
Yeah.
Unless they can trade for one. And, you know NFL teams, they don't normally trade their number one quarterbacks.
No.
Yeah. And it's so damn hard to get a great one. That's why it's like when you're picking that high, the chance doesn't come around often to get a Daniels or even – I don't like – I'm like you, Jim. I don't really believe in Caleb Williams. But Drake May, who knows? I think Jaden Daniels is the guy, the best one out of this class, I would think. I don't know. It should be fascinating to see what they do.
The other option we kicked around, which – I would not be opposed to is if Chicago says we'll trade you Josh Fields for your number three pick.
I would gladly.
And they draft Caleb, and then they get the number three pick and get a wide receiver or a tackle, and we get Josh Fields.
Yeah, give us Josh Fields and the number nine pick for the, and maybe like a second round pick for the number three.
Right. I would take Fields. I would take Fields because I don't think he's had very good. I don't think he's had very good coaching in Chicago.
No, he hasn't.
Coaching there, yeah. Yeah, Fields is really talented.
Yeah, I would not mind that. If they're going to trade back, you need to get something of substance. If you want to kill two birds with one stone, okay. If you're going to take a tackle, let's get a quarterback at the same time. Let's bring in Josh Fields, or let's see if we can acquire Josh Fields, get the number nine pick, and get like maybe an extra second or an extra third round pick in return as well, along with Fields and the number 9 pick, and boom, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean that's I like that option. I kind of think Chicago would be open to it if they're going to take Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and from what it sounds like, too, it sounds like it's going to take a godfather offer for Chicago to even think about trading the number 1 pick. So basically out the window.
They want Caleb Williams. So
yeah,
then you go, you know they're going to trade number 1 pick, so you go the other route. Say, all right, we'll give you our number 3 and give us Josh Fields because we know what you're going to do. You're going to take Caleb Williams. So we'll take Fields off your hand. You know, so the publicity will be okay for you. You got your new quarterback. He's gone.
Yeah.
And give us your number 9 and you know, a couple of picks here and there. And we'll be cool. You know, we'll help you out. We'll make you look good. We'll make you look good to the Bear fans.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people in New England that wouldn't like the Fields move, but I would not be opposed to it whatsoever.
He's been really inconsistent.
I think he's good. And you, one thing you got to keep this in mind. Everybody saw how good C.J. Stroud was, right?
Right.
I mean, well, there's no argument about that right now. He was Josh Fields' backup at Ohio State.
Ooh. That I did not know.
But, I mean, there's no – there's throwing – throwing skills, Stroud blows him out of the building. And he's bigger and just a better – he's definitely a
Stroud's better probably a better passer.
Yeah.
But Fields is a better runner. And
yeah.
he can throw too. If you balance them out, all right, let's say throwing the ball, okay, Stroud's probably an 8. Josh is a 6'5 or a 7. Running the ball, Josh is a 9.
Yeah,
Stroud's maybe a 6. So if you balance it together, Josh is up there with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah, like you said, the coaching, a lot of people are saying, is it him or
well,
the coach?
Luckily for C.J. Stroud, he had a good coaching staff.
Yeah, he did.
In Houston.
Yeah. Fields is just so
Josh
up and down.
Josh hasn't had that.
When the Bears started saying, you know what, when the rumors came out, midway through this year, Fields was really struggling again this year. And then when all the rumors came out about Caleb Williams going to the Bears, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks, Fields looks like, you know, Randall Cunningham suddenly.
Yeah.
He's throwing for 400 yards. And they're already like, you know what, is this the real Fields? Or are you going to go back to being average next year if we keep you? They're kind of like, it seems like they're ready to move on from him. So he should be available. He's got a lot of potential.
It's a big decision because you can get Daniels, and do you believe in him enough that you're just going to stay pat and you're going to take Daniels in the draft, or do you want to roll the dice? Do you think Josh Fields is someone that his abilities haven't really been tapped into? And he's a good player, and you can end up adding more pieces.
Yeah,
I mean it's an interesting decision.
Is Drake May?
All I know is we better not go back and draft another damn center number 3 in a damn draft.
<Number 3. laughs> Belichick has one last lap. He gets one last pick. One last pick on behalf of Belichick.
Yeah, if they take a tackle, it'll be either Prashanu or it'll be what's his face,
yeah.
Joe Alt. I don't think it'll
if they
be.
If they keep the number three pick, and they draft a tackle, they messed up.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep the number three pick, you got to go quarterback or Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be off-brand, though, for what's his name, for Elliot Wolf. It wouldn't be off-brand for him if he's the one making the new decisions now.
And if you get Fields,
I kind of think Kraft's son's going to get more involved now.
Especially with them now having that lawyer. I guess they had some sort of lawyer in the offensive coordinator discussions when they were doing contract discussions. When you have somebody, when you're discussing a contract with a coordinator or a coach, there's usually only two people in the room with you, the general manager and the head coach. But now the Patriots have like four or five people in all discussions with anything. So you can bet your ass that Jonathan Kraft is involved. All that tells you
is Bill is gone.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because when Bill's there, nobody else got no say so. Now, I think that did kind of lead to, and of course the past couple of seasons records, but him and Kraft have been kind of butting heads. Kraft didn't want to let Garoppolo go, and Bill did. Kraft didn't want to let Brady get out of there, and Bill said he was washed up. And Bill wanted to trade Mac, and Kraft vetoed it. So at least as far as quarterbacks, Kraft and Belichick didn't see eye to eye.
Right.
The biggest mistake was letting Brady go.
Big time. I mean, obviously you saw what happened. You know, he ends up literally his first season away from New England. He wins the Super Bowl. So,
And that's another. I didn't look up the list about receivers, but we were talking about, you know, if they draft a quarterback, they can go sign somebody. And we brought up a few names. We didn't bring up Mike Evans. He's a free agent.
Oh, okay.
Mike Evans is the best of that bunch, a Hall of Famer, surefire. I mean, he's elite, 6'5". Imagine him catching balls in New England for a new QB.
Mike,
that's incredible.
Mike Evans made Johnny Manziel a star in college.
Baker Mayfield, and he resurrected Baker Mayfield's career in Tampa. Yeah, he helped.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, and like Steve pointed out,
you don't trade nobody for him. You can just go sign him.
Yeah, and Ridley's awesome. Alabama, he missed a year. He had what 1,300 yards.
Yeah, let's. Okay, Mr. Kraft, you said the money ain't gonna be no option. Let's go sign Ridley and Mike Evans.
And then you got T. Higgins, who's the number one receiver anywhere. You know, he was the number two because he was playing with Jamar Chase. That T. Higgins is the number one receiver right away if he signs in New England. You got three stud receivers, free agents right there.
Go get a couple of those receivers. Re-sign Hunter Henry. You've got running backs. Go find you a lineman or two.
You're all set.
Defense is okay. You may need to plug something here or there, but the defense is fine. And draft a quarterback at number three. You're ready to go.
They got a lot of potential to do great things.
Godwin? Is Godwin on that list?
Chris Godwin's on there too.
But Jim,
the thing that worries me about him is he gets hurt so much.
He does. But Jim, what you just laid out, not some amazing, but we have to do 85 of the things. That's easily achievable, each thing. They got the draft pick. They got the money. So they can get both a quarterback and one or two incredible receivers. They can accomplish that.
If Kraft wants to spend the money, they got the damn money. This is Kraft. Do you ever buy cheese
I like it too much. Too much of it.
Do you ever buy mayo? Do you, I mean, this is Kraft Foods.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is, they can revamp that offense overnight. They got all the, they got the money.
Yeah.
They got the draft pick. They got everything they need to get the job done and make it an explosive offense overnight.
Yeah, and if you had somebody like Daniels, if you had Daniels as your quarterback,
and like a Mike,
and you surround him with real good weapons like that, and a great tight end, good running back,
you need.
I mean, my God, Steve, we probably wouldn't have seen an offense like that, you know, since the Brady days with Edelman and Gronk. I mean, they made Brady mess around with like D2 receivers and stuff his last year or two.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you go back.
Right.
I mean, if we go out and sign some of these receivers and we draft a quarterback at number 3, and I mean, we can still get a lineman later in the draft.
Of course. Of course, or you sign one or two linemen. And you know what's interesting? I think it's a great time for them to start I don't think with Bill Belichick still at the wheel, still calling the shots, they wouldn't be looking to add these explosive weapons. You know what I mean? It's great. It's a great year for them to have a number 3 pick in the draft. Because they'll just do – I think they'll do the right thing and get the damn franchise quarterback. Bill would try to outthink everyone and maybe – and then he might not want to sign Mike Evans. Look, he didn't want to sign – a couple different big receivers because they had attitudes. Well, this is the NFL. A lot of the receivers have attitudes, Belichick. He didn't want to sign.
All right, here we
go.
Here we go. Here we go.
Mail is fine.
Here we go. Wide receiver, free agents. I'm going to leave a few out that probably people have never heard their names. And I'll bring up a couple of interesting ones that maybe they aren't a number one, but they would be a hell of a slot receiver. And I'll give you a perfect example when I get to it. But, oh, my God, at all these free agents. I'm going to eliminate a bunch of them, though.
Yeah, it's going to be a receiver year, I think.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste a lot of time on a lot of them, but there are some good ones on here. Let me get to the good ones.
You got three number ones off the rip. T. Higgins, Ridley, and Mike Evans.
All right, here's one of them I was talking about.
Yeah.
Might not cost you as much as a number one. What about Scotty Miller?
Well, he's like a poor man's Edelman. I mean, he's like a little. Well,
I know.
Yeah,
that's
like
what I was thinking. That's exactly
like
what I was thinking. Sterling Shepard. Van Jefferson.
He's like Aguilar's, though.
Michael,
like
here's you want, Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah.
He's good.
I would not mind Pittman at all. He's isn't he with Indy?
Indianapolis. Colts.
Yeah. Last year he made 2.1. So that's kind of – it's going to cost you more than that. T. Higgins last year made 2.2. Matthew Slater. Calvin Ridley, Marquise Brown, Randall Cobb, Nelson Aguilar, Braxton Berrios, Mecole Hardman, Paris Campbell, Jamal Agnew, DJ Clark, Kendall Bourne, Cedric Wilson, Tyler Boyd, Odell Beckham Jr., and Mike Evans. Curtis Samuel from Washington is another one.
Yeah. You add one of the number ones. You add like you gotta get one of those Mike Evans, Ridley types, and then you add another complimentary guy like a Scotty Miller, I think, and then you're really rocking. But I think
Evans is going to cost you between 20 and 25 a year. Tyler Boyd, probably 15 to 20. Kendrick Bourne, probably 10.
Those are like number 3 guys.
Yeah.
Boyd's like a possession.
We don't want Aguilar. We don't want Aguilar. No cars.
Aguilar.
Ridley made 2.7, so you can get him probably at 10 to 15. So yeah, you can pay him.
I mean, honestly,
you can pay him number two money.
I mean, honestly, I would have said Scotty Miller, but I think he would probably fill the role that they already have DeMario Douglas filling. I think that's where Douglas is going to do next year, which would be the slot.
Well, and then you got T. Higgins and Michael Pittman and all of this stuff too. Scotty Miller. You got a great opportunity to turn your wide receiving crew into one of the best in the league.
I'd add Pittman to that fourth out of all those guys, and then the big three, Ridley.
Yeah,
Higgins,
I like Pittman a lot too. Yeah, I agree. I like Pittman a lot too.
So right there, those are four legitimate, proven number one receivers. So they just need to get one of those guys, and then they get another guy off that list. Like you said, they already got a stud tight end, stud running back. They're right there. They got a full facelift offensively in one offseason. They can start they could have an explosive week one.
Steve, as bad as what we went through during the season, it really doesn't take a lot to fix it if they just go get them.
They're there for the taking.
Yeah,
Kraft said money ain't no problem. So go get them and draft Daniels, and let's see what this offense coordinator can do with them.
That's it. They got the money, and he's willing to spend it. So prove it. Yeah, show me the money, Kraft. Go out and those guys look
exactly.
You know, proud franchise.
Because see,
cool
if
area.
You sign if you sign these guys. And you draft a quarterback, you're going to have him for 5 years. If you do all this, when you sign these guys, they're going to want 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year contracts. So if you hit on these moves, you're going to be relevant for a pretty good while to come.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to make it even a more attractive destination. More and more of these guys
We would be younger while Buffalo's getting older. The Jets are still Jets.
Jim,
Miami's kind of getting to the point where, okay, we know what y'all do. Y'all can score 30, but you can't stop nobody. So
they can't play when it's not 70 degrees out. They can't score points when it's not 75 degrees out. So we know what Miami is.
Jim, one of the things I'm wondering, though, Jim, is I'm kind of wondering if maybe perhaps the Patriots might not, you know, I mean, obviously we talked about the possibility of Mac Jones being traded. I think there's a possibility that they could potentially trade somebody like a Matthew Judon, who's in the final year of his deal at the draft, potentially. If they really want to completely rebuild this franchise, they could potentially, I think, get say they make a pick in the first round, and maybe they see a quarterback available at the end of the first round, like a Michael Penix or a JJ McCarthy.
I'd rather have McCarthy than Penix.
You could potentially see them maybe move on from Matthew Judon for a late first-round pick.
I've heard reports that they could. I don't mind McCarthy, but I don't want Penix.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed by Penix at all. I'm telling you right now, Steve,
if their whole strategy is we're going to build all this stuff, and then we're going to move down in about number 20 or 22, and we're going to grab Bo Nix, I'm fucking done with them. I'm done with them.
you're telling me. I've already got my uncle sold on no Bo Nix.
Plus, Bo Nix is about as old as Nick Foles.
Bo Nix was nothing but a product product of the Oregon offense. That's all he was.
Yeah. If they do that, that's just blasphemy.
Basically,
Marcus Mariota 2.0.
I saw him in the SEC with Auburn against top-notch competition every week, and he sucked. That's why he left the SEC.
He does suck. Basically, Marcus Mariota 2.0.
Yep, exactly.
You're close. Hey, it's been awesome, guys. I got to run. I got to wake up real early, so I'm going to turn in. I'll be back next week.
All right, Alex.
All right, Alex.
There you are.
All right, always a great time. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
See you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
We got
about
35 minutes left.
Honestly, that would be. I think that would be a worst case scenario if they were to go after somebody like a Bo Nix.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of scared because it's New England, and we know how drafts go. But he's gone, so I'm kind of confident they won't do that. I'm kind
right.
of confident if they're going to take a quarterback, they're going to stay at 3 and get a quarterback. They're not going to mess around. If
the
they
only
want a quarterback,
other
they're going to stay at 3 and get one, or are they going to trade and get Josh Fields?
Yeah, the only other thing I can think of is if they don't stay at 3, take a quarterback, or they don't trade for Josh Fields, the only other thing I can think of is they want one of those quarterbacks they worked with at the Senior Bowl, like a Spencer Rattler or a Joe Milton.
Rattler's good. He's good, but I don't know that he's the guy you're going to bring in and he's going to be your starter next year. I think if you draft Daniels or you trade for Fields, they're your starter.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't mind drafting
Rattler if they decide they're not going quarterback up there and they end up having to draft one way down. I'd rather have Rattler than Bo Nix.
Oh yeah. Jim, did you pay attention at all to the trade deadline this week of the NBA?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. I like what the Knicks did. I like what Boston did. And since they're not going to win, I like what the Grizzlies did. I think Gordon Hayward was a good pickup. I like what OKC did. I like what OKC did. I like what Milwaukee did.
What about Philly trading
for Buddy
Hield?
I like what Milwaukee did. Milwaukee went out and got some guys that can play defense.
What about Philly trading for Buddy Hield?
See, I don't know about that. I still think Buddy's going to be a bust. I don't know. I mean,
it just
I think
seems
all
so
can
odd
do
to me.
It
just seems so odd to me because you know Indiana they find themselves in the playoff picture in the playoff hunt, and yet basically they decided to trade their starting point guard in Buddy Hield for Doug McDermott, Furkan Korkmaz, and a couple of second round picks. It just from an indie standpoint, it made no sense to me.
I don't know. All I ever saw from Buddy was he could spot up and shoot threes if you could get him open. So I mean I don't know what they were doing. I think Boston did good. I really like what Milwaukee did as far as the roster. I don't like what they did with Doc Rivers.
Oh my God, that's horrible. Yeah.
And seriously, with Memphis looking ahead and they've got this new kid on there, this rookie this year that's so good.
Yeah,
they're
going to
be strong next year. I like what they did. I like what OK City did. Lakers did okay. I mean, they got, what's his name? Dinwiddie, as a free agent.
Yeah, the Raptors traded for Dinwiddie, and then they're buying him out, which it just screams salary dump to me that they traded away Dennis Schroeder and Thaddeus Young.
He's a good piece. He's a good piece to have. He's not bad.
No.
But I kind of like what Dallas did.
Trading away.
I think the Knicks did good.
The one thing that's funny though is that they the Mavericks had to trade away a first round pick for somebody to take on Grant Williams.
and the whole thing was they got pissed off at Grant Williams for swapping his shoes from Luka shoes to Jason Tatum shoes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard that, but that's what the deal was. That's what the deal was. What's being said is a lot of players like this move, or this was a good move for the locker room. What they're not telling you is the detail. He quit wearing Luka shoes and started wearing Jason Tatum shoes.
Wow, so that's – if anything, that's petty.
There may have been other things. There may have been other problems they had with him. And then when he says, okay, well, screw y'all, I'm going to start wearing Jason Tatum shoes, then they said, okay, it's time for you to go.
Yeah. I also like you said, with what the Knicks did, getting Alec Burks and Bohan Bogdanovic while finally trading away Evan Fournier's contract. And pretty much, I mean, the Pistons, they're just loading up on veteran players just to have tradable contracts, basically, is what the Pistons are doing. You know, Boston, they went and got Tillman from the Grizzlies in exchange for, I think it was like 2 second-round picks or something that they gave up, as well as Lamar Stevens.
Yeah, and the two number twos were like freaking 6-7 years from now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, they got so many second-round picks in the offseason, you know, so.
And now the Grizzlies are like that, too. The Grizzlies are like that, too. They got so many damn draft picks coming up. That can help you when you're trying to trade for somebody.
And I love what Tillman brings, too. The fact that, you know, obviously his offensive stats aren't too flashy, but it's more of what he does on the rebounding and the defense. I looked at, they said he's 29th among players when it comes to steals, apparently, on average. I mean, just looking at
what I know about him with Memphis, he played with high energy, played good defense, and set good picks. He ain't going to be somebody going to get you a lot of points. And he probably really ain't going to get you a lot of rebounds. He plays good defense, plays high energy, sets picks, moves the ball around. But as far as points and rebounds, he don't get you a lot. He averages a single-single. So,
right.
Well,
he's going to be mainly off the bench anyway.
He probably would fit in good with Boston's bench, you know, for a playoff run.
Right. Yeah, and plus he has playoff experience, too, with Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah.
They also got from the 76ers, the reason the
Grizzlies did that, and the reason they traded Roddy and that other guy to Phoenix, they were opening up room under the cap and everything with the money and a salary spot so they could go out and give Gigi, this rookie that's turned out to be so good, went out and gave him a 4 or 5 year deal, a really good deal. So that's
right.
Why they did all that. So now in their minds, next season, you know, they got Bane coming back. They got Smart coming back. They got Ja coming back. They got JJJ coming back. And Gigi is, man, this guy's good. He's really, yeah. really good. And as soon as he signed the damn contract, he broke some kind of NBA rookie record that same night. So, and he played college ball at South Carolina. I knew he was good. I just didn't know he was this good. So I like the direction they're moving, and that, you know, they stockpile some more draft picks, which they can use for trades. And with where they're going to finish this season, they're going to have another good draft. So they kind of do it the right way. They try to do it through the draft, you know, and picking up players that people underestimate. You know, they don't go out and try to make these big splash trades where they're going to give up two or three of their stars and go get out a superstar that don't fit in the locker room. They don't do it that way. They do it the right way. They've just been,
right.
I mean, you know, you posted yeah. about it. They have just been under siege this season with injuries.
Yeah, and I also like, you know what I also liked? One of these in particular, the Utah Jazz, I don't know what Toronto is thinking. Going out and get it, they must really feel that they can somehow be in the playoff picture because they go out and grab Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Agbaji while giving up a first-round pick as part of the deal. Now, in my opinion, Kelly Olynyk, there's no damn way in hell he's worth a first-round pick. Utah, along with that first-round pick, also gets Otto Porter Jr. and Kira Lewis Jr. To me, that is a Danny Ainge robbery, if I'm looking at it. The fact he was able to get a first-round pick for Kelly Olynyk, I don't know what the hell is going on in Toronto. They're like 5 games out of the play-in tournament, and it's like, screw this first round pick. We don't want a potential lottery pick.
Hey Steve.
Yeah.
I apologize for this because you're on the NBA now, and I done got into this NFL draft now. And I got to bring this up. Other possibilities, you know, I know we're okay in the running back category. We got a couple of young guys that are good. But if you really wanted to go out and do something, here's a few guys available. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, and Austin Eckler.
Well, it's worth noting that they could always move Ramondre Stevenson back to the two because they won't have Ezekiel Elliott because he only signed for 1 year, so they do need a second running back.
Yeah. Pollard would be great as a number two. He's not a number one, but he's great as a number two, and he is great. As a receiver, because at Memphis,
probably.
That's what he was. He played wide receiver at Memphis. He wasn't a running back.
Yeah, problem with Pollard though, I don't see Dallas. I see Dallas tagging him.
I think Dallas is going to sign Travis Xavier Henry. What's his name?
Derrick Henry.
I think Dallas is going to sign Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. I honestly thought that wherever Mike Vrabel would go was where Henry would go.
Well, Vrabel ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I originally thought that, you know, wherever, if Vrabel had become a head coach elsewhere, that Derrick Henry would probably follow him.
Yeah, and
on the free agent list, of course, Kyle Duggar's on there. Hunter Henry's on there. I'd centralized it to different positions. Now I'm just looking at overall. Trent Brown's on there, and who cares?
Yeah, nobody gives a shit about Trent Brown because he doesn't care about even playing.
Stephon Gilmore's a free agent. Dalton Schultz, tight end from Houston's a free agent. Hunter Henry is a free agent. Contract was 2 years, 14.3.
Per year?
Josh. Huh?
Per year?
Yeah.
14.3 mil per year?
Yeah.
That's not bad for Henry. I would take that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says he could ask for up to $71 million on a deal. He's still just 29 years old.
I mean, if they sell him correctly on, look, we're going to utilize you a lot better than Bill did, then I could see Henry potentially. I mean, he was an offensive captain.
I could definitely see him staying because I know the talk around his family and the talk in Arkansas is he loves playing there.
Yes, he does.
So, I mean, just make him a fair deal and he'll stay. And he's also one of Kraft's favorites, I believe. Edge rusher ranked number 50 on free agents from the Patriots. Can you guess who he is? 25 years old.
Josh Uche?
Yep.
Yeah,
four
that's
years,
one of the people
58.
That I thought that they might trade potentially
deadline. 4 years, 58 million.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, he never would have gotten that deal under Bill. Now, as far as Mayo goes, I mean, maybe. There was one Patriot defender. They didn't say who it was, but there was one Patriot defender who said that Mayo being elevated to head coach finalized his decision to stay with New England.
Maybe it's him.
So, it could be him, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's him. Maybe it's him. Let me look at. I'm looking at the top 50. Some other names are Xavier McKinney from the Giants, a safety, Robert Hunt from Miami, Kenny Moore, a cornerback from the Colts, Levante David, linebacker from Tampa. Jonathan Grenard from Houston, an edge rusher. Jadarius Smith from Cleveland, an edge rusher. Gabe Davis, wide receiver from Buffalo. Patrick Queen, a linebacker from Baltimore.
I've always loved Queen's work.
Yeah.
All right, they're saying on him 5 years, $93 million.
Wow. For Queen?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what the other thing too is? I think he may stay with Baltimore actually.
Yeah, we got a cornerback on Cincinnati, Awuzie. Here we go. Another Patriot on ranked number 29 out of 50 on Winnu. Mike on Winnu.
Oh, Mike. Yeah, Onwenu, he's been on record as saying that he wants to stay in New England, but it sounds like New England might be going elsewhere, which I think would be a huge mistake.
Out of the top 50 free agents, he's ranked 29, Steve.
Yeah, I know, and he's probably maybe one of the best guards on this free agent class.
Yeah.
It would be a huge mistake for them to get rid of him.
Yeah, Kevin Dotson from the Rams is a guard. Geno Stone from the Ravens, a safety. Devin White, linebacker from Tampa. Cameron Curl from the Commanders, a safety. Kyle Duggar is 24th.
They're saying 3 years, $33 million.
That's doable.
I agree with that. The Titans cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting, Dallas Cowboy offensive tackle Tyron Smith. They're not projecting any numbers, I think, because of injuries. Defensive tackle from Cincinnati, DJ Reader. Calvin Ridley, they're projecting 4 years, $68 million. He's ranked 20. Baker Mayfield, he's going to get more than that. They're saying 4 years, $66 million. He'll get more than that.
He'll get more than that. For what he did with that, I think he set career numbers with that, with not just that offense, but that offensive line that they have there in Tampa. He's definitely going to get more than that.
He was on the run every game. So the guy can throw on the run. We know that now because he had to. 18th is a wide receiver, Marquise Brown from the Cardinals.
I wouldn't mind
26
Hollywood.
Years old. They're saying 4 years, $60 million.
Brown.
Yeah, they're saying 4 years, $60 million. Bryce Huff, New York Giants edge rusher. Chase Young, 49ers. They're saying 2 years, $28 million.
Yeah,
Kendall
Young will
Fuller,
stay with the Niners, I think.
Yeah, Kendall Fuller, cornerback from the Commanders. Leonard Williams, defensive tackle from Seattle. Mike Evans, they're saying 4 years, $100 million.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, Legarius Sneed, cornerback from Kansas City. They're saying 4 years, $48 million. Danielle Hunter, edge rusher from the Vikings. Michael Pittman, ranked number 10. They got him ranked over Evans. Number 10, Michael Pittman, 26 from the Colts, 4 years, $92 million. Antonio Winfield Jr., a safety from Tampa. Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins, a defensive tackle. Damn, 4 years, $80 million. He must be good. Here's another defensive tackle.
I think Winfield was just like his father. Didn't his father play for Tampa too?
I don't know. Here's another defensive tackle from the Ravens, Justin Madubike. Madubike.
Madubike,
I guess. He's 26. They're saying 4 years, $82 million, defensive tackle. Edge rusher from Carolina, Brian Burns. Woo! 5 years, $108 million.
Burns can stay the hell away from New England after the recent problems he's had with them.
Yeah. Jalen Johnson, cornerback from the Bears. He's number five. Number four is T. Higgins. They're saying you can probably get him at 4 years, $70
million. Yeah, that sounds about right, considering he had a down year this year, too.
He's only 24.
Yep.
Top three are Josh Allen, not the quarterback, but an edge rusher from the Jaguars. 5 years, $110 million. He's 26.
Yeah, that sounds about right. With his production, that sounds about right.
Number two, Kirk Cousins, 35 years old, 3 years, $120 million. $40 million a year.
No.
Number one.
I'm sorry. I'm not paying that for a 35-year-old.
I guarantee you can't guess who number one is.
Probably not.
I'll give you a hint. Think defense.
in particular? What part of the defense?
All right, I'll give you another clue. Think Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Not Nick Bosa. He already signed an extension.
29 years old.
Not Armstead, is it?
Chris Jones.
Oh, Kansas City.
Yep. 29 years old, defensive tackle. I mean, if he gets this as a defensive tackle, God bless him. They're saying 3 years, $90 million.
That explains it because he held out part of the year because of a contract dispute.
Yeah. They're saying that's the number one free agent is Chris Jones.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe that in terms of
I'm not going to pay $30 million a year for a defensive tackle. That's the first thing.
No. No.
You can draft really good defensive tackles and really good defensive ends.
I mean, you know, I loved Vince Wilfork, but I wasn't going to give him $30 million per year. Not when you can.
Like, that's who they're saying are like the top 50.
Yeah, not.
I wouldn't give Cousins no damn $40 million a year.
No. Yeah. No. I'm sorry, with his injury history?
I mean, looking at that list, one of the best bargains is T. Higgins.
Right. I agree. But, I mean, with his injury history, there's no way in hell I would give Kirk Cousins. What is he asking, $40 million per year?
Well, this site is projecting as what
yeah.
he will end up with, 3 years, $120.8 million.
Yeah, no,
that
there's
takes
no
him
way
to age, that takes him to age 38. And he can probably play to 38, but he does get hurt a lot. This throws another little thought into our thought about the Patriots. Yeah, I'm gonna sign Tannehill. I'm not signing Cousins if they're going free agency route.
How much does Tannehill want?
He's not in the top 50. It don't say.
I would rather do Tannehill or do Brissett. Especially if you're gonna use them to
now,
groom a rookie.
Jacoby's in it. I think Jacoby's on here. Let me go back and look. I think Jacoby's 40, but they don't have any numbers on him. They don't have any idea about the contract. But he's listed at number 40, and Tannehill's not on the top 40. So they've got him ranked above Tannehill and above Mariota and above Jameis Winston.
Well, you know,
yeah,
I would take Jacoby's
played for us before.
Yeah, I would take Brissett if you're gonna take like say Spencer Rattler in the second round, and you want to groom him for a year, or for a year or two, you sign somebody like a Jacoby Brissett to be a bridge type quarterback.
Do you do that? Do you do that, or do you try to go a year with Mac or Bailey?
I mean, maybe Mac, but only do it if you're actually going to commit to an offensive line around him.
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to commit around him, then you might as well just take put Vapi out there for 1 year.
Well, you would think if they were going to commit to Mac for another year or two or whatever,
they would have this plan in place to go get these receivers and
right.
build around him. But with Mac, he's not one of these guys that's going to be good throwing on the run or he's a dual threat. He's the old school drop back.
Right. I did see, though, that he was already starting to try and kiss ass, showing up to the press conference for Gerard Mayo and everything, trying to act like a good employee. Though they wouldn't allow him to sit with the other players. They told him, no, you're going, you go over to the fucking media section. And there he is all alone trying to, he looked like one of those make-a-wish kids that, trying
God.
To gain sympathy.
Could they have messed over Mac Jones's head any more than they have?
That all depends.
I mean, my God, he's a Pro Bowler in his first year, and then you give him Matt Patricia and Joe Judge.
Yep.
What's he supposed to do? And he don't have an offensive line. He don't have wide receivers. They don't have a dominating run game. They have guys that are good, but they don't have the line for it to be dominating. And then Henry just 3-4 years from now, we could be reading headlines from another team that picked up and took a chance on Mac Jones, and now he's got him in the Super Bowl. And we could be saying,
yeah.
Damn.
Well, you know what they would be saying? That motherfucking Bill Belichick ruined Mac every single opportunity he had. I mean,
yeah,
hell,
now the
kid, I think the key point is, you know what
it reminds me of, Steve? The way Jared Goff did for the Rams. He did everything he could for them, led them to the Super, did everything he could, and they basically said, you still ain't good enough for us. We want Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
But to be fair, look at what Matt Stafford did. But look what Goff's doing in Detroit. And Stafford's struggling now. So, it's great. I mean, you got a Super Bowl. It's great for 1 year, but now Detroit's pretty happy with that deal.
Stafford's also getting older, though, too. I think he's about, what, the same age as Cousins, maybe a little bit older.
Yeah, and he's another one that gets hurt a lot. So, how do you judge a trade? Is it worth it that you got that one Super Bowl, or if you're Detroit, is it worth it that we moved on from a guy that's older and gets hurt a lot, and now we've got a young guy that's going to be here for another 8 or 10 seasons? It depends on what you base your success on.
I think it
worked
out for both sides.
But the Rams sure did have to go into quick rebuild, because if you remember right, the way the Rams got up there, I mean, they freaking traded every draft pick they had. They went out and got everybody they could get. They were San Francisco without being smart about it. San Francisco knows how to make these deals and not give up everything. The Rams just said, here, what do y'all want? Because we want him. And they're like, okay, well, we'll take a 1, a 2, and we'll take another 2 that year, and we'll take a 3. And give us a 5. And the Rams were just like, okay.
Yeah, it's insane.
They won a Super Bowl.
Right? Yeah. It's insane some of the prices that they had to pay, though. But, hey, they won a Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Like you said, they won a Super Bowl.
They gutted that whole franchise. Gutted it. We're down to under a minute, so Super Bowl tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm gonna say San Francisco 34-27.
Yeah, I'll say I think it'll be closer. I think I will say San Francisco 27-24.
Well,
I think it'll be closer.
I'm gonna pull for my boy Dre Greenlaw to have a big game tomorrow.